It's time now for the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for obtaining qualified professional advice in your own locality. You should not act on the information provided without seeking the services of your own accountant, financial advisor, attorney, or other qualified professional. No client relationship is created between the listener and any of the hosts or guests of this program unless they are formally retained in writing. This is an opinion-based talk show.
Episode of Right Foot Business. I've got we're doing our first virtual episode in light of current events, and so we're doing this over Skype and testing that out. So and my guest today is Lou Lozada. He's been on before. We're Coach Lou, as I refer to him as. Welcome back, Lou.
Thank you, Nick. It's a pleasure to be back here with you today.
I think, you know, right now we're kind of in the mid. I want this episode, I was mentioning before, you know, I want this episode to be still somewhat timeless, you know, just managing, you know, thinking about things in a crisis mode almost for businesses. But we're actually, you know, we're in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic that's going on right now. And we're all from home, but, you know, working from home. But I think, you know, now is a good time to look at some of the things that Coach Lou, you know, brings to the table and what, you know, what business leaders can do from a mental health standpoint, you know, and guiding their teams and supporting their teams and things like that. And so I want to, you know, definitely dive into a few topics related to that and see what we can, you know, see what we can uncover.
Yeah, sounds good, Nick.
So I think where I'd like to start is around just, you know, personal health. I think we gotta, you know, it's almost the airline mask, you know, thing, you know, take care of yourself first a little bit so that you can make sure and take care of your family and your business family and things like that. But, you know, what are some things you're seeing out there or, you know, or you would recommend that are just good, you know, personal health things to keep yourself, you know, in good shape for this?
Oh, well, that's a great question, and one that obviously we've had plenty of time to ponder here in the last couple of weeks. And for me, one of the things I'm trying to do is keep some semblance of a routine. Even though, you know, I don't have to get up in the morning, I'm setting the alarm clock. We're discussing routine with the family a lot. Like 2 days ago, we sat down and I did my first family mediation here at home. Where we sat down and came up with some agreements on our daily schedule and talking about how we can, you know, work a weekly schedule also going forward once we get past what would be spring break around here. So we're trying to be, mindful of the fact that it would be spring break for our kids and finding ways to have fun for them and do some things that is, you know, revolves around their needs, but also trying to keep them in some type of a routine as well as ourselves, because even though it's spring break, we still have workload to take care of as adults this week. So just trying to find that balance, so routine. The other thing we're doing is still sticking with some kind of a physical activity schedule here. Like my wife Katie's still doing her yoga in the morning, and you know, Levi and I, my youngest son, are going out and we're finding time to play baseball, we're finding time to play basketball, we're taking walks, you know, just trying to be physical outside as well. And I know that may not be possible for everybody right now, with us being asked to be indoors and only going out for essential items and things like that. But, you know, I think at this time, especially, it's important to stay, you know, physically engaged and trying to stay healthy. And that means something different for everybody. So just the routine, then also finding ways to have some, you know, physical activities, if it's just by yourself or with others that you're quarantined with.
Yeah. No, I think the routine is probably the biggest thing right there. Just, I mean, you know, my daily schedule of getting up early, I'm not, you know, I get up super early and that's my music time. But, you know, I think getting, you know, some of those kind of things out makes it much easier to work through some of the, you know, some of the business leadership type things. You know, I think you can, you still kind of setting your baseline for the day and, you know, much like yoga or, you know, and other exercises, you know, can be a good way to really set yourself up for success, I guess.
Yeah. And obviously during this time, especially, you know, giving yourself that, what I call self-empathy to, and understanding that maybe your schedule that you set might have a few changes throughout the way during the day or the week.
Yeah.
And really allowing yourself the grace to be okay with that and finding ways to redesign your schedule on the fly. We're kind of in a moment of improvisation, you know, something that I guess I'm kind of used to in playing music, in that you get in that space of time where, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen next. And musically, when that happens, it can be really uncomfortable at times. For me, it's about trusting my own listening skills, not only listening for myself, but what other people are thinking or doing. And then trusting that my listening skills are going to serve me, and trusting that, you know, those around me that are engaged in what we're doing musically are also listening and being honest about their thoughts musically. And then collectively, together, we'll find our way out of that place of improvisation and back to something that's more familiar.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely, I mean, almost treating the, you know, anybody's small business as the band, you know, and I think if you're ready for that and you prepare yourself mentally for some of that improvisation, as you're saying, you know, I think business leaders are used to some degree of that, but I think it comes back to so that part's probably pretty familiar, but the part that's challenging for them is around, you know, the listening part of it. You know, I think you're definitely taught to be mindful of your staff and understand your teams and things like that. But now that's got to go to a different level that people are not necessarily used to, because there might be other, you know, things in the work from home scenario or things like that, you know, that you want to be mindful that you're, or, you know, understanding of what your staff is going through as well.
I think that's a great point, Nick. And I was listening a little bit to NPR radio yesterday, and they were talking to different restaurant owners in the state of Oregon and how all the rules are affecting them. And not just, you know, also talking about how the rules are continually changing for them. And they're trying to stay on top of those rules and implement them into their business plan and practice. And I was really, you know, taken back at how two different restaurants were responding so differently. And one restaurant was from a smaller town. And I'm going to try and say this without passing any of my judgments along in this conversation.
Which is always hard, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm going to try and validate each person's experience. But one of the restaurant owners who was from a smaller town, she was upset and she was angry and she was frustrated because she felt like they had a way of life that was being threatened out there. They get together. There's a group of retired women who come together once a day for coffee. They solve world problems there. They solve local problems. It's their time together. And the rules that are in play right now are pretty specific in restricting those types of activities. So in her mind, you know, she wanted to be able to make her own choices. They wanted their community to be able to make their own choices about gathering and what it meant for them. And they wanted to be able to have their own response, their own choice to make the choice to gather or not.
Yeah.
I thought that was really powerful. a thought, you know, a really powerful thought on their point, you know, which is, this is what we do. This is our lifestyle. And we're not sure we're willing to compromise our lifestyle to accommodate the new rules in play to stop the spread of coronavirus. In other words, their community, their connection was more important to them in this moment. Now, the other restaurant owner was somebody who's in Portland and had already started the process of trying to get a delivery system in play for them prior to even knowing about coronavirus, and not just working with, you know, the already existing delivery systems, but they were going to do their own delivery system, you know,
yeah,
develop it, hire, you know, control it all. And so she felt like maybe she was in a better situation today with the coronavirus, and then also was very thankful for a lot of the rules that were coming into play because it helped her have a better understanding of what kind of playing field she was working in.
Yeah.
And she was thankful that the governor was saying, no, we want to do takeout only, and these are the rules. And it helped really define things for her in terms of her business practice. So two, you know, both have businesses, both are selling food, both, you know, have a community they're serving, and both work the new rules completely differently.
Yes.
And
yes.
I thought, wow, you know, what are, you know, this really, you know, helped me to understand that these two different, entirely different perspectives are both really valid
for each other.
And that's kind of what we're up against right now in today's environment. And I think you see that anytime there's a crisis, whether it's globally or locally, or maybe it's just within your own business, is that we're trying to find ways to adapt to the crisis given the rules that we have. And then we're also making like moral and ethical choices as well for ourselves. And today is no different.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've seen, just even at the CPA office, we've seen both sides of that. And I definitely have my biases, you know, in that world. But I think, you know, what I think is challenging is, you know, we have some clients that are very appreciative. You know, we're allowing, you know, people to come in. There's a sanitation table. They can just drop their stuff there, let us know it's there. Then, then one person is on site, you know, as we're considered as financial services, you know, as a needed service right now. And, you know, so some people are very appreciative of that, taking full use of that. But yesterday we had someone coughing in the office, disrespecting the whole situation, you know. So it's funny, I'm seeing both sides of it, and I agree with you. I mean, I get both sides of it. At the same time, it's like, wow, you know, people, let's be a little more respectful.
Yeah, well, one of the things I was especially taken back with is the business owner that had the business in Portland, he decided the best way to handle this crisis was to essentially have a restorative practice happen in her business, where she called everybody in and she just asked the questions like, who was, you know, given what was happening, who in her company would be willing to take time off and apply for unemployment?
Right.
Who in the company could do that, but would also be interested in coming back to work on a moment's notice if needed?
Yeah.
Who in the company, you know, really couldn't afford to take time off, really needed to be working because being at home and with idle hands would be really difficult for them. And, you know, so just really trying to get a feel by opening a forum for everyone to be heard and get it better. You know, that really gives you a better sense of what are the needs of your individuals that are working for you. You know, what are the actual human needs that they have? What are the things they're facing, you know, at home, away from your business? How does that affect your business? And how can you help accommodate, you know, some of those needs while still meeting the needs of your business, too? The only way to really know is to open up that space for dialogue, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back here with Right Foot Business. If you have any questions, email them in, questions@rightfootbusiness.com, and we'll be back in a sec.
Thanks, Nick.
Hey,
And now back to the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.
All right, we're back with the second segment here of Right Foot Business. I've got Coach Lou Lozada here in virtual studio over Skype. We were just kind of diving into, some instances of what we're seeing locally, I guess, as far as a restaurant owner situation. And I think, you're hitting a good point of, and I actually brought it up in our staff meeting. It just kind of, it clicked with me that we're trying to do some of the similar, things, but I don't know, I think giving some guidance on this would be good. In our staff meeting, we did a little bit of that. Okay. What's working for people, we're on a, pretty much everyone from a tax preparation standpoint is working from home at this point. And, what's working good for people? What are some fun stories, but also, we're fortunate that it's still in tax season. So, we still have plenty of work to do and, we don't have to have any of those discussions about unemployment or anything like that at this point.
Right.
But I think just kind of trying to understand the needs and asking people some of those questions. I think, like I'm going to make a trip to Costco today. And, one of the staff members was like, well, if you're going to be there, they happen to have some toilet paper, things like that, just understanding their needs, right? Like, what can we do to help, as a leader, I think is just really important and shows, I think, builds the strength of your relationship with your employees. I think all smart business owners, understand the importance of their employees and taking good care of them and building a strong business with that. Some of the larger ones surely don't seem that way and probably aren't that way, but I think a lot of the ones that are smaller or, I say smaller, which probably would include people with less than 100 people, but,
yeah,
take those kind of approaches, and some that are larger than that take that sort of approach. But, it just seems that trying to understand what some of their needs are and what, how can we build a plan together, I guess, is part of that.
Yeah, I think in times where there's crisis, it presents itself in a really unique way that you have an opportunity as a business owner, a leader of a community, to really reach out and get a real better feel for where people are at in their lives. People tend to be a little more vulnerable in these situations. And so I think that lends itself to them being a little more honest about what their situation really is and what their needs can, really are in the situation. When things are status quo and we're just going and things are normal, I think we're more complacent about our needs at times. And that's just my judgment. But when we get in a crisis situation, when we open up that safe space for people to talk about, what it is they need, how they're feeling about things, what they see their future to be like, I think, they're in a more vulnerable state and more willing to really be honest with you about what it is they need, even if it's just toilet paper or, toothpaste or, there's these little basic things that seem so, simple, but can mean so much to somebody right now.
Yeah, it's funny. Even yesterday, yesterday I had to go to the office physically and do a few things to better support the, stay at home and work from home situation. And it was funny because two staff members were there because one hadn't quite finished up their work from home situation. And it was just kind of funny. Like, you got two grown men, saying, hey, it's just good to see other people. And I think that's where you say that vulnerable side. I think it's we're all feeling that for sure. And I think, when you were talking about, that the one small town restaurant owner's situation, as I was talking to him with my dad, yesterday, and, they, although I feel like some of the memes that are talking about, why are we having to scold our parents about certain things? This would come into play also, but, my dad always, he goes to his local, fraternal organization and, plays cards every Saturday morning. And he is surely missing that and isn't, although he FaceTimes, he is not, going to set up with his card playing buddies a bunch of tech to, you know, have some fun and catch up with those guys. They're not going to be a Zoom meeting for that age group or that, you know, or that, you know, group of people that isn't prepared for this. I think we're, you know, even you and I were joking as we were tinkering with this setup, you know, that we're the old people trying to figure this out, you know, at our age, yeah. You know, but, you know, fast forward, you know, go 20 years down the road and, you know, without having grown up, I mean, we've grown up more in it, you know, than, you know, not as much as our kids, but, you know, they're struggling with that connection piece. And I think, you know, doing what you can with your staff to make that connection better. And that actually brings up one thing that came up this morning on a networking group that I'm in. We're doing, well, it's a WebEx meeting, but it's, you know, similar to Zoom, you know, where you can kind of do your video chats. And, you know, one person brought up that they're actually going to do a Zoom, you know, happy hour, you know, virtually with each other, with their team on Friday afternoon. Hey, we're going to stop and mix a drink at your house and let's chat and catch up. And I was like, wow, that is, you know, we've been having our kids do some of that thing, you know, some of that, but I don't, you know, just little ideas like that is great, you know, to get some of that connection going with your teams. I think, you know, I don't know. I was, it seems so simple and we're doing it in other ways, but I didn't, you know, go, oh shoot. Yeah. We should be doing that. Let's stop and do that.
Well, you know, from my standpoint, the idea of human connection is a universal shared value or need.
Yes.
And so when we're talking about elderly folks, younger kids, even from anyone who has experienced that connection with another human and desires that, we are in challenge to find ways to make those connections right now. And I can only imagine what it must feel like for our elderly community to be facing a crisis situation where normally what they would do is get together and connect with each other and basically do that popcorn idea where you're just bouncing ideas off each other and you're not really judging each other. You're just allowing that space for each other to be heard. And that's essentially been taken from their schedule. So I can only imagine how that must feel to them. And I hope that they all have someone in their lives that can maybe help them, you know, resolve that need, find a different way for them to fill that need in their lives. And I've been really impressed at how important these conversations have been for me and the Zoom conferences that I've been a part of already with some of my elder, you know, mentors, some of the FaceTime conversations I've had with my musician friends, how uplifting they've been, not just because of the content of the conversations, but also just being able to see their faces along with their, you know,
right,
put it with their voices has been so inspirational, you know, like never before.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, during these times, you know, when you have a business and you're used to having that daily contact with that person in the office, no matter what kind of, you know, contact you're having, even if it's just a good morning, how you doing, you know, that you're going to miss that, I think. And so finding ways to fill that need going forward until we can get back to that type of business practice again, I think it's going to be really essential for us, you know, in our mental health.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I was even mentioning on our staff call that we may, you know, if I kind of feel the need or as, you know, rules change that we need to address or help our clients with and things like that, you know, it's, we may have an extra staff meeting a week or, you know, things like that too, just to connect, but also to, you know, just catch up a little bit. I mean, there's just such, yeah, you're right. The face of others in all of this and we make it seem a little doom and gloom, you know, and we're just stuck with our family. I mean, it's the people we love the most, you know, but you still, you always had those outside connections to rely on and, when you needed that, I guess.
Well, in coaching terms, you know, and I was having some dialogue with Sean, you know, Sean McNabb's wife, who I interact with at the grade school once a week. And I used to coach football at the middle school and work, you know, with Sean. quite a bit, and I have great respect for him and his program and how successful they've had. They've been over the years, how much success he's had.
Yeah.
And I was telling Mary, you know, I said, well, in football terms, I think, you know, we're on defense right now. Our backs are at the goal line. And it's first and 10 for the other team. And this is like a real gut check, you know, type of situation for us where everybody's got to pull together as a team unit here and try and somehow be on the same page. I've been a part of a lot of goal line stands. And it really takes a different level of focus, not just on your own self, but what everyone else is doing, to have a successful goal line stand.
Yeah.
When you can accomplish that, the feeling on the other side of it is tremendous.
Yeah.
It's one of the most, it's almost for me more exciting than scoring the football. You know, being able to stop something that almost looks imminent and have that type of focus in a time where it seems like, you know, odds are all against you, you know?
Right, right.
But finding a way to dig deep and having that belief in the others around you that you're gonna find a way. And I think right now we're in that position where, you know, making that connection with the others that we know we can count on, or that we hope we can count on, picking them up, letting them know you believe in them during this time is super important in finding a positive, you know, way out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's continue on with that. I'm going to pause for a little segment break here. Right Foot Business. If you got questions, send them in questions at rightfootbusiness.com, and we'll be right back.
And now back to the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.
All right, we're back with our next segment here on Right Foot Business. I've got Coach Lou Lozada in the studio. We're using the football analogy on the goal line stand just before the break. I kind of want to continue with that. I do think, you know, what you're saying about, you know, when we make it through or when we successfully defend the goal line, you know, I think it gives you so much more, I don't know, it makes you more proud of your business or, you know, or your family even, you know, surviving it and making it to the other side and having some success with it. I mean, I think everyone is scrambling in many ways, but, you know, if you're able to, you know, do the best you can, work through it the best you can, be honest with people, and then, you know, yeah, make it to the other side. And when we're, you know, when we're back up and running as a full economy and things like that, then I think, you know, and maybe you made a couple good moves and maybe you made some not great moves, but, you know, in the end, your business succeeds after that. I think there's a lot to be, you know, that people are going to be able to be proud of at the end of all of that, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, kind of getting back to that analogy a little bit is, you know, obviously when we're on the goal line in that situation, it's a totally different approach than when we're out at the 50-yard line playing defense and it's 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
It's a different approach. So we have to, like, be able to really form our approach to what we're seeing in front of us. And then, so that kind of gets back to, you know, that line of communication and making sure that we have a good understanding of what the game plan is.
Yeah.
You know, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Like, everyone understanding what their role is going to be and everyone being on board with how their role plays out. And you know, those things are super important during that time.
And, but I think that...
And then also having the leadership to,
yes. Yes.
You know, someone or somebodies to say, hey, I believe in the plan we have in place. I believe in the personnel we have in play to execute this plan, and let's get after it together and see what happens.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. It reminds me of a thought I was having about, you know, the 2008 crisis. You know, I was at a large accounting firm at that time, mm-hmm. and I think you know, I mean, all in all, I would say they handled it pretty well. I think some of the, when you're in a larger organization, just generically speaking, I think it's hard to feel the full transparency because, you know, they're trying to make decisions and, you know, there are hard decisions that have to happen as a part of that. I mean, we had coworkers, you know, laid off in that time as well. You know, and there's hard decisions that have to be made. And I think that's definitely a struggle of any leader, you know, to be as transparent as you can, you know, to share that doesn't, you know, have people too worried but, you know, provides that solidarity, I guess, to make it so that the team can be successful, you know, through tough times.
Yeah, I mean, leadership right now is essential, I think. You know, we're seeing that, you know, in our global market, in our own market, in terms of, you know, the decisions that are being made and how they affect the market, you know, almost immediately right now.
Yeah.
So we're seeing those things play out. You know, our local leadership, our state leadership, our federal leadership are all making choices on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis right now.
Right.
And we're all, you know, left to kind of figure out, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my business? You know, what does that mean for my family?
Yeah.
What does it mean for my retirement fund? You know, so we're definitely in a time of mass transition. You know, we're constantly trying to change our game plan. We're looking for leadership on how to like do that in the most efficient and effective way. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, brings up a lot of neat feelings and emotions that maybe we haven't had to face in our past, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. Business owners definitely in no matter the political climate or, you know, things like that are always, you know, always are tasked with understanding a new set of rules, you know, what, how do I work within this? You know, like you're saying, how does it affect me and my business and family and things like that? And I think, we're you know, pretty well versed in this, you know, this ability to, you know, think on our feet, you know, to get through it. But I think, it becomes a challenge. And I think it's been kind of nice, you know, here in Oregon to be able to lean on, you know, what some state mandates are to better protect, you know, where, you know, I mean, I have some clients who are ex-government officials and things like that in different, you know, just different government jobs, I should say, not necessarily like leader official situations. You know, they actually have less trust, which is kind of, you know, funny in its own way, but they, you know, they were more blatant disregard of the rules a little bit. I think it's helpful in some ways to have some things in a time of crisis to lean on and utilize and promote, just because, hey, there's at least some kind of baseline thing out here. Here's the precautions we're taking. Here's our plan, you know, and here's how we're, you know, being safer or doing things like this, because, you know, and we're always going to have to come up with individualized plans, you know, to make sure that we, you know, are ready and can take it on. But, you know, for whatever the crisis, I mean, this goes to any kind of crisis. This is, you know, isn't specific to this one, but having something to fall back on a little bit too is pretty helpful, to be honest. And that comes from someone who has less feelings about that, you know, or doesn't like that stuff as much sometimes, you know, depending on what the rules are, whether they make sense or not, you know. And this time it makes a lot of sense.
And it's helpful. Yeah. And, you know, I thought about this a lot the last few days, and is how do we receive new information?
Yes.
You know, we all have the choice to receive it however we want to. And we also have the choice to change our perspective on things, you know, as new information comes.
Yes.
Oftentimes, when we get new information and it doesn't really suit our narrative or our agenda, we tend to want to disregard it or not accept it as the truth. And so when we're receiving new information all the time, and the new information sometimes contradicts the information we just got from sources that we are supposed to trust and rely on, it kind of convolutes and it the situation a little bit. But you still have the ability to choose how you receive it.
Yes.
So, you know, for example, getting back to the two different restaurant owners, how they both received the same information in a completely different way.
Right.
One received it in a really negative way. In other words, they were having really negative responses to it. Like, I don't want to play by those rules. This is not, you know, we have a way of life here that's being threatened by these new rules. And that's their choice to receive it that way. And I completely respect it. And I understand and validate their feelings. And then the other side of it is, I'm thankful for these new rules. They give me guidance. They give me a platform for which I can operate my business and know that I'm doing it legally. And it helps me to, like, make choices and decisions that going forward about my business that I can feel good about.
Yeah. Yeah, that way you're kind of doing your part. But yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm the same way. I'm receiving information all the time. And,
yeah.
And I'm making choices about how it affects me, whether I want to choose to judge it, evaluate it, diagnose it in a negative way or a positive way. I think my message on that would be that even though things are happening really quickly, being patient and taking the time to think about things in a critical way with some critical thinking and using logic. And for me, it's been really talking to my mentors, my elders. Even though we all agree that this is the first for everyone, this particular crisis, this is the first. None of us have been through it. We're
right.
All on uncharted territory. But by gathering our own information and having that support group, I think we can make choices that are positive ones going forward. And I really believe that somehow, you know, we're going to find a positive outcome for all this.
Yeah, I think once we get to the other side of it all, you know, once we see what it, you know, what it actually becomes, I think, you know, I was talking with my wife quite a bit about, you know, what are some of the positives that we're going to start to see. You know, I think our kids, you know, although they're missing some of the maybe basic educational things by not being in school, but then at the same time, they're doing a lot of things that they are going to learn, you know, some of their life skills that the school can't necessarily facilitate as easily, you know, because we're all forced into it. And the same goes with how we interact with people. You know, we're talking about Zoom meetings and things like that, but that, in some ways, although we're all, you know, staying home right now, that makes the world even a smaller place in many ways. You know, it might make it much easier to stay connected to people that maybe move physically from your location, you know, in the future or whatever. And you're like, well, we're all just more comfortable with Zoom meetings or, you know, in different ways of communication that are still satisfying to our connection needs and things like that. So I think there's a lot of positives to come out of all of this.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, in this time of transition, transformation, whatever is really happening here, it's hard to really get a huge grip on it right now. But definitely there are a lot of positive effects of what's happening in terms of how we're finding new ways to connect with each other. And then also just the understanding for me of how important that human connection was, maybe more important than I thought it was prior to this particular event. And I think
we took it for granted.
Crisis, you know, when businesses have, you know, individual crisis moments, that they also, if you're willing to receive things in a positive way, if you're willing to receive things without judgment and evaluation, you can really look at things clearly as they're unfolding in front of you. But more often than not, you can find a silver lining, some hope, or a positive outcome from that. It's a learning experience, you know. And I say this all the time when I'm coaching, is that those moments where you feel like you're failing or where things are super hard are the moments you can learn the most about yourself and others.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a little break. We'll come back for our final segment here on Right Foot Business. If you have any questions, email them in, questions@rightfootbusiness.com. We'll be right back.
And now back to the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.
All right, we're back with our final segment here today on Right Foot Business. Coach Lou and I were joking about in the break about the how the ringtone on Skype is pretty funny. It's very uplifting, you know. So maybe we'll all just really enjoy that in the world.
Well, normally on those types of things, behind the scenes, I'll always come up with some goofy song lyrics that go along with those type of melodies. I'll spare you all that here on this interview for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's kind of funny. I mean, we've been, you know, I'm going to spare everyone too, but we've been working on our Coronacation song, you know. We've got a pretty solid base, so, you know, we'll release it when it's ready.
I can't wait.
I kind of want to jump back a little bit too, you know, on some of that. How is the world changing, you know, and how, you know, I think we find ways. You know, I guess you're sort of alluding to this. You know, we find ways, and I think this is where business leaders can really get, you know, it's a tough time, and we're struggling, we're jumping to figure this or that, or, you know, things like that out. And, like, some of ours might has been just around, you know, how do we best set people up within our phone system, you know, and you know, our VoIP provider, you know, I'll throw a little shout out for him, Noctel, you know, Corey and his team do a great job. And so we're able to do, you know, all of this stuff, you know, as far as extensions and things, it's as if everyone's at the office, you know, but there might be answer from their cell phone or their, you know, their actual, you know, they took their phone with them to their home office, you know, and, but it's kind of it's kind of neat seeing some of the shift that, you know, that we're seeing, you know, I mean, that's technologically, but I think finding, you know, getting to those ways to, you're solving business problems you don't even know that you had to solve on a really quick way, you know, in a really quick way that, you know, you're being forced to right now, but leveraging that as you know, as we come out of this, I guess is one way to think about it.
Well, definitely, necessity is the mother of all invention, it seems like, right?
Yeah. I mean, take this for example, you know, I mean, I hadn't used Skype in years, and here we are, we're back on it. This is the easiest way, and many podcasters and radio people are, you know, use this as the medium because it's really slick and handy for this, you know. So here we are finding tools that even have existed to better the connection and find ways to work with people.
Yeah, and if Skype was wanting to sponsor us, that'd be awesome.
That's right. They're not currently a sponsor, but maybe at some point.
Shout out to Skype.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, something, I mean, you know, I think what people are, you know, working through, I think what people will start to share more of, and this is just, you know, I encourage people to do, you know, whether you're making personal connections or you're, you know, you're doing some of these kind of group chats or video conferences, you know, is sharing the ways you're getting through it. I think, you know, I think there's a lot of power in, you know, and you probably can expand on why this is the case, but I think there's a lot of power in sharing in some of this, you know, and finding ways to, you know, what are you doing? What are you having success with? You know, one person shared on our staff call, you know, well, you know, during one of my, you know, while I was working through a tax return, you know, I was at the same time having, you know, a tea party with my 1-year-old, you know, I think, you know, that's workable, you know, it's, you know, testing all of us parents out there. But I think, you know, sharing your stories through some of those kind of things is an empowering way to make it through together too, I guess. I know, you probably can expand on why that is or what, you know, why that helps people. Like,
yeah, I was on the phone with my stockbroker, the person that handles my portfolio and my estate, and he's saying, you know, yesterday my 6-month-year-old had his first video conference call. And he said,
wow.
He said, yeah, there's a point where he just really needed to be heard in the conference and made his presence well known. And he said, and I said, yeah, I mean, there's a situation where you would never even think of that as a possibility in your life, right? You'd be like, oh, I got to find a way to find a place for my son, my 6-month-year-old son, so I can focus on this conference call by myself. When in reality, that wasn't really a need. It was a perceived need, maybe what I might call a false narrative, in terms of you think that this is the only way you can get this done, when in reality, there's a multitude of ways you can get the same task done if you're willing to have an open mind. And so this situation, crisis situations, often put us in places where we are able to adapt to things that we never thought we could adapt to, or thought that it would be more frustrating or more risk than reward, if you will. And so in this situation, especially like even right now, you know, I've been having conversations with people, you know, that are reaching out to me for some conflict coaching, or maybe they just need to be heard because they're feeling overwhelmed by the emotions that are attached to this crisis event for them. Or maybe it's a situation where they're feeling trapped in a home with somebody who's their abuser, and they're looking for ways to cope, or just looking for them to have their situation validated because they're feeling like they're being gaslit. And so by just simply being able to reach out and have a video conversation with me, or a phone conversation with me. And even though during that time, normally I'd find a quiet space where I could hold space for them in my office or outside if I'm at home, or, you know, maybe I'm in the car when they call, so I pull over and try and create this quiet, safe space for them. Today, it might be while I'm making peanut butter jelly sandwiches for my 9-year-old. Or maybe I'm out in the garden weeding the strawberry bed when it happens. You know, or who knows, you know, maybe I'm drinking coffee like right now, you know, we're having a conversation. I'm having my morning coffee. I'm thinking about, oh my goodness, you know, I got to feed the horse, my kid, you know, I got to get him going on our routine. So it's like, we're all juggling things at the same time that we never thought we'd be juggling. Yet here we are, and we're doing it, and it's working, and we're finding ways. And maybe things aren't getting done in the same manner of which we thought they were going to in terms of the time frame we normally expect. But things nonetheless are getting done. And they're getting done in a way that is productive. And so for me, just being able to give myself that grace in the moment, give others that same grace, it's been super empowering for me. I don't know, how's it been for you?
That's funny. There, I mean, during that, you know, staff call I keep mentioning, you know, we had my 2-year-old, you know, jumped on mom's lap, who is our CEO, main CPA, and it was funny because it was like, you know, then the whole team is saying hi to her, you know, because they can hear her in the background, you know, on the call, and it's just kind of funny, and it's funny that it comes from her the most because she loves the little kids series right now, the Boss Baby series, and so we always joke that she's the tax boss baby, and she seems to live it up sometimes as the youngest and having a 4, so she has to kind of battle for her time, and she is kind of a boss, which is pretty funny.
Right, and, you know, it sounds like, you know, having that moment not only was precious for you and your family, but your entire staff got to enjoy that moment where they normally would never get that opportunity.
Yeah, it just makes it real. It makes it, you know, I think, and that brings a point, you know, that being real with everyone on your team and you know, around you is important in these times. And that it gives some commiseration in some ways, and then in other ways it provides a little humor, you know, and it just, you know, lightens the spirits about it all when everybody's working through, you know, a tough time.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to say before we get too far in here into this conversation, we run out of time. I just want to say, you know, really thank you so much to all the nurses, doctors, first responders, people that have essential jobs that are, you know, are forced or feeling forced to go to work right now or feeling like obligated to have to go to work right now. And what that must mean to them and their families. I've already had multiple conversations with family members of first responders and nurses and doctors and getting a better sense of how that's affecting their family unit and the stress and you know, load it's putting on them. You know, and I know I'm forgetting people here. You know, also, my thoughts go out to all the people that are in the military right now overseas, all of our people that are friends, family members that are overseas trying to get home or maybe trying to stay put. And there's that distance between us that, that creates an uncomfortable situation. My heart and thoughts go out to all the people who are elderly or immune compromised and at high risk for this virus right now. You know, I can only imagine how, you know, you must be feeling at this point in time. And I also want to say, you know, that, you know, I'm home. I'm finding, you know, blocks of time throughout the day, either in the morning or around lunch or evening, to reach out to people and just check in with them, see how they're doing. People that are reaching out to me needing to be heard. And, you know, I want to extend that offer to anybody that's listening to this radio station. If you're home and feeling overwhelmed and you just need someone to talk to about your situation without any judgment or evaluation or diagnosis of your situation, please find a way to reach out to me. And you can email me at lewisblozada@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook and Facebook message me, and we'll find a time to get together and you can be heard.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think that's actually a great note. The only people I would add is some of those other infrastructure type people, the grocery workers and things like that. They're just around a lot of people, you know, and I think it's, I don't know. I just, my hat's off to all of them. They're doing such a great job in keeping the system moving. It's moving significantly better than, you know, people might be scared or feel like it is. It's, you know, shelves seem to be continually more stocked and things like that. So I think our basic necessities are available. So it's a pretty neat thing. I'm excited for humanity overall. I think we're finding, I don't know, I have a very positive outlook. I think we come together in all of this, even though it might not always feel that way on certain social media platforms, but I think we're actually coming together in all of this.
Yeah, I think we have a long road to hoe still, just my personal judgment and opinion. But, you know, I think together with many acts of, you know, kindness towards each other, that we will find a positive outcome from this situation like we have many before us.
Yeah. All right, Lou. Well, thank you for being a guest today again. You can reach our, you know, questions at rightfootbusiness.com, but otherwise we'll be back for another show, probably virtually. Thanks again, Lou.
Thank you so much, Nick. Take care. Be well.
You too.
You've been listening to The Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.